So from our new edition of the liturgy book, a passage from the great master Matsu, also known as Basso in his Japanese name. And he was one of the great Zen masters, legendary Zen masters of the Tang Dynasty in the 8th century. And is one of the predecessors of Linchi, hugely well-known figure. He appears in many koans, and also had a large impact on Korean Rinzai Zen. Many of the lineages in Korea still trace their lineage back to him, as my Korean lineage does. He is one of our direct ancestors. And I'm going to start with a couple lines before what's actually in our sutra book. Putting the sutra book together is quite a thing that Josh Bartak has really coordinated, but all the teachers have had input for different passages, and quite a job what to include and what not. And they're just a couple sentences before our passage starts that I think are quite important. And this is from Matsu addressing his assembly. And he says, "All of you here, believe that your own mind is Buddha. This very mind is Buddha mind. You who seek the Dharma should seek nothing. Do not grasp what is good, nor reject what is bad. Do not lean toward either purity or impurity. Speak appropriately about the affairs of your own life, for each matter you encounter constitutes the meaning of your existence, and your actions are without hindrance. The fruit of the Bodhisattva way is just thus. The myriad forms of the entire universe are the seal of the single Dharma. Comprehending this, one acts in the fashion of one's time, just wearing clothes, eating food, constantly upholding the practices of a Bodhisattva, and passing time according to circumstances. If one practices in this manner, is there anything more to be done?" So here we are in the middle of our coming and going retreat. Retreat without edges, we might say, a kind of a boundless retreat that everyone who shows up becomes a part of. And we could on one hand say that some of us have been sitting from the beginning, but we all have been sitting from the beginning. And all of us in this moment join together in the great activity, the great Sangha activity of waking up. And one of my great appreciations of the Zen school is the understanding and the facilitation of this together action. We pay attention to the guidelines and the structures of our retreat, not because they are absolute or right in some way, but they enable us to live together, to live together in a kind of harmony. Now, if we had to do this too long, the harmony might be a little challenged. In fact, of course, it's challenged moment by moment as we do our best and continually make mistakes and get corrected or don't get corrected, or we see someone else who's not getting corrected and we can tell they're doing it wrong, and why doesn't the teacher just do something about this? The mind can be quite active. Some people say, I wish I could run away to a monastery. my teacher spent much of his early adult life in a monastery, 20, 30 years. And when Melissa and I told him that we were thinking of buying this building and having a temple, he said, better you than me. And he was, from the beginning, though so encouraging about this enterprise. And when we weren't sure if we could or if it would happen or was possible, he was quite confident. He said, oh, of course you and Melissa will do this. Of course, this Sangha that is growing around you, that you are a part of course this will happen. And George Bowman, was at most of these first coming and going retreats. In fact, he was the one who said he thought it was a good idea. And I remember coming up to the very first coming and going retreat about 6 months before it seemed like a good idea. But then as it got closer and closer, and I thought, oh my God, 3 weeks, how will I ever do it? I really terrified myself. But knew he was coming, I believe the second week. And he came and gave himself to the retreat. George is someone who has a great love of Zazen. He was one of Sung San's first Dharma heirs, Sun Sanim, the great Korean Zen master who founded the Kwannon school. So George was part of this worldwide empire, and realized that he did not actually want to be leading a great big organization. He didn't even and has never really wanted to be a teacher. His great love is in the Zendo. For me, he is such an exemplar for all of us. Return to this practice, to give ourselves to this practice. When I received transmission from him, he said three things that he passed on to me that Sung San had passed on to him. And one is, you must find a successor, someone to give Dharma transmission to. And second, you must continue to sit. It's quite a dangerous business to be a teacher. Because sometimes it sounds like you know what you're talking about. And you hear yourself and you think, oh, maybe I'm one of the ones who knows what's going on. This is a very dangerous attitude. I think for all of us to come back to the cushion. So wonderful. I do love to give Dharma talks and love to listen to Dharma talks and to be in Doksan and to be interacting and to play this role, with dear friends, including my dearest friend in the whole world. My wife, the great Zen master Myozen, to teach with her and to disturb all of you so much is a great pleasure for us. The meaning of our life, and we feel so fortunate to be here. In fact, I feel so fortunate I can't even remember the wonderful point I was about to make. this time of retreat, right? Something comes up and brightens the mind, and a moment of clarity, and then in the next moment can't remember whether it was just a moment ago or yesterday or 2 weeks ago. We are deconstructed here. We are boiling ourselves down to the essence. And there is a lot of this boiling down, which leads me, I knew if I talked long enough, I'd circle around, leads me back to what my teacher told me, which was to sit. And to not get lost in being a teacher like I just did. That was a wonderful demonstration. You follow the words and then all of a sudden it's like, where was I? Who am I? But when we sit, when any of us sit, no matter how many years, theory eventually goes out the window. All your wonderful ideas about Zen just one more impediment. And so again and again we have to come back to this moment. And so this was the second thing he said. He said, continue your zazen. And one of the things I like so much about this retreat in particular and all our Boundless Way retreats is how much we as teachers get to sit. And I think there is all kind of teaching. This teaching of the words is wonderful and important and I think necessary for all of us. But there is the teaching of the silence. Though I learned much from my teacher, George, in his Dharma talks, which were quite a thing to listen to, as the depth of his understanding and the wildness of his mind, and he's a great improvisational speaker, following what arises. But I learned more from sitting with him. For many years, would sit day after day on these small retreats. He would never come to something this large, too big a party. He was much happier with just a small group. So we would sit together like we do here, all of us going through our changes. And in this silence, each one of us is a teacher. Doesn't matter where you sit in the Zendo, you are presenting yourself. There is no one that knows what you know. Each of us has this Dharma, is this Dharma, this particular uniqueness. And our job is to be ourself. Our job is to stop trying to be ourself. So often we are some kind of imitation of ourself. We have an idea of who we are or who we should be, and then we try our best to live up to that. There is a kind of a wildness in our meeting the moment, and a wildness in who we are. That this very moment as it arises is unpredictable, never happened before mystery, a deep mystery of mysteries. This very mind is a Buddha. Steve's lovely talk from this morning, the Dogen piece of the Buddha, this, if you want to understand Buddha nature, you should intimately observe cause and effect over time. So this intimately observing this Buddha nature comes when the time is ripe. And of course, the only time that ripening manifests is now. Another piece by Hogen Bays we read the other morning is, in this very moment, karma ripens and all things come into being. In this very moment, karma ripens. All of your life has led up to this point, up to the mystery and the possibility of this moment. And again we say everything you need is already here. Everything you've ever longed for, everything you've ever hoped about yourself is true. We are sitting hour after hour, day after day, to penetrate into what has been here all along. And Matsu says, each matter you encounter constitutes the meaning of your existence. So this matter we encounter is, we could call it Buddha, we could call it True Self, we could call it Hey You. It makes no difference, for the project here is beyond anything we can say about it. Every once in a while someone asks me how this works. And I always say, I have no idea how it works. Except that it is possible to participate. It is possible to intimately observe, not from the observer standpoint outside looking in, but to minutely observe by living into by being ourself, tired self, inspired self, angry self, hopeless self, peaceful self. Everything that arises is the meaning. This liberating meaning of life. Just this. Right here. Thank you.